You're listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Welcome to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast. I'm your co-host, Mackenzie Felstead, and I'm here with my other co-host, Kathy. We're excited to be here today.
Thank you. Hi, Mackenzie.
Hi.
Excited to be here as well.
Well, we're excited to just jump right in and introduce our guest today. Our first episode was all about introducing Buellton and why you should visit and talking about some of the attractions and places to eat and places to stay. Now we really want to dive deeper and get to know the community, the attractions, and the amazing must-see places when visiting the area. In honor of their 97th anniversary, Kurt Craig of the Buellton Historical Society is here with us today to tell us about the incredible story of the Central Coast classic Pea Soup Anderson's Restaurant. Kathy, do you want to introduce our guest a little bit more?
I'd love to. Yeah, Kurt Craig, he's a local historian extraordinaire here. He's been with our historical society for about 15 years, and he's just our go-to person whenever we need to know a little bit about the history of our local area and some of the locations here in Buellton and surrounding areas. So I'm excited to have him here with us today.
Awesome. Well, welcome, Kurt.
Thank you.
There anything else you'd like us to know before we get started?
Sure. I've been involved with the Historical Society, as Kathy said, for about 15 years, but not everyone knows the reason why I got involved with the Buellton Historical Society. And the reason is that I was actually looking for pictures of service stations. And those that know Buellton know that there were a lot of service stations in Buellton at one time and still quite a few now. But I collected service station collectibles, so I thought it'd be great to see pictures of some of the local service stations. And that's when I went and introduced myself to the Buellton Historical Society and found out that they had a few, but not a lot. And so in the process of searching for more, I found out that a lot of them were tied to diners and restaurants and motels in the area. So it ended up being a large collection of images that we shared in our book, Images of America, Buellton. And so that's been my involvement for quite some time.
Thank you, Kurt. I appreciate that. I know you've got a rich history of what goes on, and I know I've reached out to you different times. So let's get started with some questions so our listeners can learn more about the famous Pea Soup Anderson's restaurant.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So the original name of, you know, Pea Soup Anderson's, I know it was back in, I think, June 13, 1924, when it was Anderson's Electrical Cafe. So tell us a little bit about the history of that maybe name and how it came to be and when it was changed from, you know, the Electrical Cafe.
Absolutely. They actually like to say that it was Friday, June 13th, 1924. So it happened to be a Friday the 13th. I don't know whether that was the actual day they opened or if it was a soft opening, but at least that's what history tells us. So the reason for the Electrical Cafe name is that around 1922 is when power actually came to the Buellton area and eventually to Solvang. So first time that the town was electrified. And what was unique about this restaurant is that all their appliances were electric and they wanted to take advantage of the electricity that had just recently been introduced to the town. And thus the name, the Electrical Cafe.
That's awesome. I love how it already, from the name, shows the history of the restaurant. What made the change to Pea Soup Anderson's?
Well, the Electrical Cafe name stuck around for quite a while, actually, not until right around World War II, just before World War II. And so it really, Anderson's Pea Soup was just a name that people called it as they became famous for their pea soup dish. But they eventually did embrace that name. And probably around the 1930s, I think, is when that transition took place, maybe the late 30s and early 40s.
Awesome. Well, that's very neat. A little bit about what I was curious is Anderson's. What do we need to know about the Anderson family and why did they come to the Buellton area?
Absolutely. So as some people may know, there was a town nearby named Solvang that was established in 1911 by Danish colonists. And Anton Anderson was Danish, but his brother Andrew Anderson had come to Solvang before Anton came to visit him and actually owned a pool hall and a cigar shop in the little town of Solvang. So Anton was actually in New York originally working for a fine dining restaurant in a luxury hotel, and he was given the opportunity to open the Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So he came out as the chef for the Biltmore Hotel in LA, was living in LA with his wife, Juliet, and their young son, and came up to visit his brother in Solvang and discovered this new town that was being established called Buellton. Buellton came about around 1917, so about 6 years after Solvang, but really hadn't started thriving until the early 20s, and just fell in love with the place and decided that they wanted to open their own restaurant.
Awesome. And you know, you mentioned Biltmore, and maybe we'll touch on that real quick, because what was that about? And I think it's kind of a cute little story with Anton working for the Biltmore and then coming here to open this restaurant. And then you mentioned the Biltmore. And so what was that about?
So the cafe opened in 1924. And then 4 years later, they decided that they wanted to open a hotel to supplement the cafe. And also because there was a need for lodging along the Highway 101 for people that were traveling up and down the coast. So he, kind of as a joke, in deference to his job at the Biltmore, decided to call his hotel the Biltmore. And although it wasn't quite a luxury hotel on the level of the Biltmore, it was one of the nicer hotels in the area at the time. And in fact, what most people don't understand or know is that that building still exists today in Buellton, and actually is where the gift shops are in the restaurant. And the old hotel rooms are offices upstairs, as well as the space that we occupy with the Buellton Historical Society.
Yeah, really neat history there. I think it's kind of a fun story, and how he took the name and changed it a little bit. About the pea soup recipe, how did that come about? How did we end up with, you know, being the home of pea soup here in Buellton?
So Anton was a gourmet chef. He actually, the food in the restaurant was actually a much higher caliber than people think because of the name Pea Soup Anderson's. But his wife, Juliette, had been an au pair or a nanny when she lived in France. And she was actually the one that did more, I would say, homespun cooking, you know, food that most people would eat in a diner. And so it was actually Juliette that came up with the pea soup recipe. At least that's my understanding. And Anton was a phenomenal promoter, and he just embraced it and started, because it was so good, people really liked it. They really started promoting that as kind of their main dish. People would actually come to eat the pea soup there once they found out about it. And the people that would come there were mostly people that were traveling up and down the coast between LA and San Francisco. And then Buellton was just a perfect place to stop off, get gas, take a little break, have lunch. And so the fame of the Pea Soup Anderson's restaurant started to grow, mm-hmm. which later we'll talk about the cartoon. And then that became a huge part of the promotion of the restaurant.
Awesome.
That's great. Have they ever released the recipe or anything, or have they tried to keep that a bit of a secret?
It is no secret. And not only did they release it, but they were very generous with giving it out. And the reason that I know that is that, well, first of all, they would write it down on a napkin because people would constantly ask, well, what's the recipe? And Anton or Juliette would just write it out and hand it to them. Well, they kind of got tired of doing that because, you know, it took a lot of work to take a break and write out the recipe. So they started printing it on the postcards. And the deal with the postcard is if you came to the restaurant, they would give you a postcard and then they would put the stamp on it and mail it from Buellton, California to whoever you wanted to mail it to, which obviously was a great way to promote the restaurant and also a way to share the pea soup recipe. So I have a number of postcards in our collection that have the recipe on the back of it.
That's so creative. I love that. That's a really unique way to market the restaurant. That's really fun. Do they sell any other type of dishes or things that are famous besides the pea soup, or is it primarily just that people come for?
Today I think the pea soup is what people know it for. My favorite is the Monte Cristo sandwich that they serve for breakfast, mm-hmm. which has been on the menu for a long time too. But as I said before, the restaurant, especially during Robert Pea Soup Anderson, their son's leadership, was actually more of a gourmet restaurant. It's where people went to celebrate holidays, like birthdays and anniversaries. It was probably one of the finer dining restaurants in the San Ynez Valley at one time. So the menu was actually quite diverse. And, you know, now they've probably scaled it back more to what it was in the original inception. But I think their main meal when they first opened was lunch, because that's when people were stopping in Buellton. And then they expanded into dinner service and a more expanded wine list.
And then I know they do serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner now, and they do have quite an extensive menu. So, but yeah, that the traveler special is probably their best seller, I would imagine, right? If you can get to the bottom of the bowl and you see the characters in the bottom of the bowl. We can talk about them, their little mascots. But that's kind of what they've become known for. And it is quite a stop. It's a generational thing, I think, too, with people bringing their families in and then the next generation they come through. So we do see a lot of that, which is kind of neat to have that longevity out of a business. But so I know I talked about the Traveler Special, and Kurt, you can say more about that too, but that's just, I think, a common dish people order, and it's kind of an all-you-can-eat pea soup. And like I say, once they get to the bottom of the bowl, the little characters are there. So let's talk about their little mascots, Happy and Pee-wee. What do you know about them or how they came out to be?
Sure. So let's talk about that. That's actually one of the more interesting stories because it's what pea soup is recognized for. And any business realizes that, you know, having a great logo or a great concept is what helps promote your business, especially over a long period of time. But originally those characters weren't named Happy and Pee-wee. In fact, they didn't have names. They were actually from a cartoon in a humor magazine called Judge, J-U-D-G-E. And it was a magazine aimed at college students at the time, university students. And Robert Anderson, their son, happened to be going to school and came across this cartoon in the magazine drawn by an artist named Forbell. And it was Little Known Occupations was the name of the cartoon series that they had done. And so this cartoon depicted splitting peas for pea soup. And it showed this factory where they were splitting the peas and had these two chef characters in the image. So immediately Robert said, we've got to have this cartoon to promote the restaurant, contacted his dad, who then somehow the two of them contacted the artist and got permission to use it. So even on the postcard today, you'll see the name Forbell on the cartoon postcard. And this was in the 1930s. So the cards came out. Originally, they were black and white, just like they were in the magazine. And then at some point, they added color, probably a concept that was came up with by somebody that printed the postcards. And they just printed them by the thousands. There's versions of it that they used as a Christmas card, signed by Juliet Anderson. There's versions with the pea soup restaurant. There's different variations of the cartoon, some in black and white, some in color. So obviously a number of them got printed over the long period of time that they used it. So that's how it originated. Mm-hmm. And if you are geeky like me and you sit and study the postcard, you can see the little variations in them. I think I own close to 30 variations of the pea soup postcard.
With the
cartoon characters on it. So I know that there are many that exist, but it all came from this magazine cartoon in Judge Magazine, which fortunately I was able to find a copy of it. And I found out that there were other little known occupations besides splitting peas for pea soup, which I wish I could remember some of them, but it was actually a series of cartoons that were in this magazine.
Okay.
And so Forbell was actually a pretty known cartoonist artist in his time. The other person that was published in that same magazine was a guy named Theodore Geisel, which people probably don't know that name, but they definitely know who Dr. Seuss is. So that's where Dr. Seuss got his start as well.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
I never knew that. Yeah.
So that was the first iteration. So we had Happy and Pee-wee, pre-Happy and Pee-wee, before they had names, with no names. And then during World War II, they actually closed down Anderson's Pea Soup restaurant to help with wartime production of pea soup for the military. And they ran the pea soupery, which was a separate building in Buellton where they made the canned pea soup. And also for a while, they experimented with frozen pea soup. And when they reopened in 1940, well, right after World War II, so I don't know the exact date, but one of the first things they did during that closure period and right when they reopened is they got with a Disney cartoonist named Milt Neal. And Milt Neal did a refresh of the two characters. So he redrew the two central chef characters in the cartoon, which again, if you look at the early versions, you can kind of see the changes that he made. And then they held a contest to name the two characters. And they gave away $100. It was published widely in the Santa Barbara News Press and the local newspaper. Whoever could come up with a name for these two characters would win $100. And so that's where the names Happy and Pee-wee came from. Happy being the heavier chef and Pee-wee being the smaller, thinner chef, which makes sense, of course.
I love that. That's so unique and kind of different. And I thought it was interesting that it wasn't necessarily the Andersons that came up with the characters, that they kind of found them and then sought out that cartoonist to see if they could use them. That's kind of a different way of going about it. I like that.
Right. Yeah. So the current version of the cartoon is a collaboration now between two artists, Forbel, who I'm sure was gone by the time that Milt Neal redid the characters. But yes, that's how it came about. And then because of that, letting people mail the postcard from the restaurant, literally millions of those postcards got circulated throughout the world, because people would, you know, come from Europe, they'd come from the United States, they'd come from Canada, and send those cards back from the Buellton post office, and they'd go out to all over the country. And so I've made a career collecting them back and bringing at least some of them back to Buellton so that we'd have them in our collection. We could study them for historical information.
Awesome. Do they still print any postcards?
Absolutely. Yeah. That postcard is still being used today. Still a key part of the promotion. You can walk in the restaurant and buy your own Pea Soup postcard. They won't mail it for you now, but you can get your own.
Awesome. And then I know, the Anderson family eventually sold the restaurant. I think that was after World War II, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it was Vincent B. Evans that they sold the restaurant to. And tell us a little bit maybe about what you know there, Kurt, and how that came maybe to be, and how Vincent changed, he put his own twist on Pea Soup Andersons as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a significant era for the Andersons franchise. And just to go back a little bit before that to kind of understand the transition and why it took place. So I talked about the freeway expansion in 1948 and 49. There was talk during World War II about bypassing downtown Buellton because cars were getting faster. They could travel quicker. They didn't need and they could go further without having to get gas. So having all these little service towns on the freeway really slowed down the traffic flow. And they wanted to build more what we would call a freeway today, or a highway bypassing the town. But the merchants in Buellton got together, led by Robert Anderson in particular, to fight having the freeway move, because they knew it'd be devastating for their businesses if they weren't on the main road anymore. That's what led to the changes to the restaurant that happened 1948-49 into the 50s. And probably, if we look back at it historically, the 1950s was the absolute zenith of Anderson's Pea Soup. It was when they were their busiest. They had the absolute most traffic. It was extremely popular. People made it a destination, along with visiting the town of Solvang. And so having not had the freeway bypass them saved their business, at least for that period of time. Mm-hmm. And that lasted up until the early 1960s, when the decision was finally made that they were in fact going to bypass Buellton and build a new freeway. And that freeway started construction. So that sadly kind of started the demise of the Anderson family franchise there in Buellton, because they simply couldn't do the volume of business that they had been doing once the freeway was bypassing the town. Mm-hmm. Part of the challenge, too, is that they were also trying to expand. So they opened a Pea Soup Andersons restaurant up in Santa Maria. They were also building a huge service center up in the town of Salinas that was going to be a restaurant and a hotel as well, much bigger hotel than the old Buellmore. But it also put them in a difficult financial position, because they were kind of exposed financially with all these operations going on. That's ultimately what led to them having to sell the business to a new owner, and that happened to be Vincent Evans and his wife that came in and bought the restaurant.
Yeah, he was an interesting man. I mean, he did so much for our community, and I know he was a little instrumental, I think, in the billboards. I'll just talk about those briefly, but the Happy and Pee-wee logo, and they still are out there along the highways, directing people to Buellton, and so many miles to Buellton, home of Pea Soup. So very iconic still today. We see the characters, and I think Vince Evans was very instrumental in maintaining that, because the freeway did get moved. And so those signs were very helpful to still pull people off the freeway and get them to Pea Soup Anderson. So,
yeah. So the Andersons actually they came up with the first highway signs, but they didn't go nearly as far outside of town as when Vincent Evans expanded and started putting them much further out on the freeway to get people, as far away as San Luis Obispo and as far south as Santa Barbara directed to the restaurant. The reason, though, that the Andersons started putting up the billboards is because there was a competing restaurant in town that was trying to poach their business, and they were selling split pea soup and advertising split pea soup on their building and along the highway, which resulted in what I call the pea soup wars, and literally resulted in a number of court cases with Anderson suing the other owner to cease and desist with his trying to steal his business.
Wow.
And then Vincent Evans, of course, did it to get business off the highway to the original home of pea soup in the 60s, once the freeway bypass took place.
Right.
And as Kathy said, he was instrumental in trying to evolve the Avenue of Flags, which was what the old freeway was named after it bypassed the town. There was quite a vision for what that was going to look like, which, ironically, we're starting to see that vision today, but it's been 50, 60 years since that time period. And I think the most iconic thing that Vince did for the Avenue of Flags was to have a dedication ceremony in 1968. And his friend, governor at the time, Ronald Reagan, came and oversaw the festivities that happened around this dedication of Avenue of Flags. So it was kind of a patriotic event, but also sort of like a way of saying, hey, we're going to make this into a vibrant place for people to come and visit Pea Soup Anderson. So neat pizza history that Ronald Reagan was there and, of course, had the ranch eventually that was up above Santa Barbara as well.
Right.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. What an honor for him to be there.
Yeah. And a little background on Vince Evans. He was actually a Hollywood screenwriter. So a lot of people know Ronald Reagan was in the film industry as well. So they had a relationship that went back probably a number of years. And then Vince was involved with the Republican Party and therefore, supported Reagan in his quest for governor of California. And they were essentially friends and knew each other. And that's how he was able to get Reagan to come to this tiny town of Buellton to do the dedication. But it was also Vince Evans' contacts with the film industry that brought a couple Ted and Pat Derby to the area with their animals, which resulted in what became Anderson's Animal Park, which it was a kind of a zoo and exhibit. But these animals were all stars of television and film commercials that made up the Anderson's Animal Park. And that was something that Vince brought about with them.
Yeah, I think that's really neat. I wish we could still have that here in Buellton, because I think it just would be such an attraction today for visitors coming. But I hear so much about the animal park, and I didn't live here then when it was here, but just sounds like it was a great place. And Vince really did put everything into making that a destination, the restaurant and the animal park. So he did a lot to put Buellton on the map as well.
Yeah, his first goal was to get Buellton established. So he brought in the other Anderson family that built the new hotel that's there now, Anderson Inn, to kind of tie it together. And then he built the animal park. He actually opened a service station that was the Pea Soup service station right down the street. So trying to create attractions to get more business into the core of Buellton.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his first focus. And then his second focus was to expand the Pea Soup franchise throughout California and build new Pea Soup Anderson service centers. And we can talk a little bit about that expansion, because it was fairly significant what he did during his tenure as the owner of Anderson's Pea Soup.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that as well.
So he decided to open other restaurants and kind of create some efficiency. I think really his intent was to make it a large franchise. And he picked areas where freeways converged, where there were big travel centers. So people wonder why there's a Pea Soup Anderson's in Santanella off the 5 freeway. But it's really because that's a fairly major thoroughfare. It's an intersection, much like Buellton was, where people ultimately, as they're traveling up and down California, need to stop and eat something and go to the bathroom and get gas. And so if you create a place where you can serve all those needs, then you're going to attract some business. And that's exactly what he did. First in Santanella, and then down actually in the town of Selma, which is over by Fresno, and then eventually in Carlsbad, California, down by San Diego. And then he also had a Pea Soup Anderson's restaurant in Mammoth, but that was more because they owned a place in Mammoth and they went up there a lot, not so much because of the travel aspect of it. But he actually expanded the Andersons into, at one time, 5 operating restaurants.
Did he Kurt, I know in Buellton here, we have what we call the buffet bar at P. Soup Anderson's. Was he instrumental? Is he the one who brought that here?
That's correct. Yeah, that was okay. Something that he brought in and added to the restaurant.
Okay.
Well, it seems like he really, once, you know, he took over from after the Anderson family, he really brought a lot to still expand. I really like that he didn't just kind of leave it where it was at, but he kept expanding. That's really neat and probably helps a lot more people know about the story.
Sadly, you know, he and his family were killed in a plane crash near Buellton. And had that not happened, I'm sure that the Anderson franchise would be even larger than it is today. But as a result of that, unfortunately, he didn't leave a will that was clear. And obviously all of his heirs passed in that accident. And so there was no one to take over the business, the operation in the way that he had done it. So that kind of ended the Evans era of Anderson's Pea Soup and really made it a challenge going forward. And ultimately some of the other locations closed because they couldn't sustain the business.
Wow. That's so sad.
Yeah.
So because of a result of that, I guess we can kind of close here with, where is Pea Soup Anderson's at now?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the two restaurants that remained actually ended up being owned by a painters union. They bought them as an investment for their retirement portfolio. And they were able to operate, but they were sort of floundering around. And then eventually Milt Guja, who's a local restaurateur from Santa Maria, owned restaurants like the Central City Broiler, and then now owns AJ Spurs. He ended up buying the Buellton restaurant and then eventually was able to buy the one in Santanella, at least buy the business part of it. He doesn't own the real estate, but he owns the restaurant. And so now they're both being operated by the same owner, which is really a good thing because at least they have that continuity. Mm-hmm. And that's been the case since the early 2000s, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Kurt, for joining us today. We really, really appreciate it. I've learned a lot more about Pea Soup Anderson's, and Kathy, you had a lot of great points to add as well. Is there anything else that we should know before we close this episode today?
You should know that the Buellton Historical Society has a great display upstairs at Anderson's Pea Soup, and you'll be standing in the old Buettmore Hotel when you go look at it. So you should get over there and have some pea soup and visit the exhibit if you're in town. We'd love to have you stop by.
Definitely.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Kurt. We really enjoyed talking to you and learning more about the famous Pea Soup Anderson's restaurant. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Don't forget to leave us a rating or review, and we'll talk to you next time. This has been another episode of the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Mackenzie Felstead and produced by Relic.